We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
This is a week for bagpipes, plaid, and kilts.
Like, they're all plaid.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Isaac and Sue on 1080.
Just checked me in plaid.
The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
What's
up? Good Friday. What's going on?
That is a good question. Does checked mean plaid? What? Or is plaid something different?
I didn't hear it. Is that in the open?
That's in the open.
Yeah, it's a bit from a movie, and the guy says, what is plaid? Does checked mean plaid?
And that's a good question. Does indeed. I honestly have not been paying attention to that, but I don't know why I caught it this time, and I think that's a valid question. Does checked mean plaid? If I'm wearing a checked shirt, am I wearing a plaid shirt?
Isn't it checkered?
But isn't it, well.
The official definition is checkered. Or tartan twilled cloth, typically made of wool.
So I've never even heard the term checked, other than like in.
Yeah, you're thinking the context. I think we're thinking checkered.
Yeah, checkered. That's what I
right,
thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that what it says? In the...
I think the guy says, does checked mean plaid? Well,
what?
I don't know. Well,
what is happening?
You don't need to fire it up again, but no. That's not really the point of the question.
I thought I've heard of like someone had a checked shirt or a checkered, either checkered. Way.
You've heard that term, checked
I have heard
shirt?
That. I believe so.
I've never heard that.
But okay.
A shirt with a bunch of little check marks on it?
Well, let's take it a step further. Does checkered mean plaid? I wear checkered Vans a lot.
I don't think so.
You know, I have a couple pairs of the.
No, a checkerboard is not plaid.
No, that's yeah. Right.
I think it has
checkered,
to be.
I think plaid is multi-layered, multicolored. Checkered is two-tone. It's like
I had two checkers laid on top of each other, then I have plaid? I don't know.
Well, plaid can be a checkered pattern and often is. But checkered is not plaid.
So this is like a whiskey scotch thing. All scotch is whiskey, not all whiskeys are scotch.
Yeah, plaid can be checkered, but checkered is not necessarily plaid.
Mm. All right, we've learned something here today.
Well, how is plaid checkered then?
Well, because it's more of a shape and design. It's boxes. So you can have a plaid that looks checkered, but something checkered is not plaid.
Hmm.
Why not? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Sure it does.
Now we're all confused. I thought we had kind of put a bow on it, but
I think they're two different things.
But now I'm more confused than ever.
And I'm going to go ahead and I'll die on this hill. I'm going to go to Plaid Pantry and really get the load.
Ask the person behind the counter.
Yeah. Hey, is plaid checkered?
Go right to the source.
Well, can I also ask the question, because Plaid Pantry doesn't have any plaid in it. I've seen that logo. It's not plaid.
Would you like to know what AI says?
Please. Yes.
While checkered and plaid can both describe fabric patterns with intersecting lines, they are not always interchangeable. Checkered patterns are typically similar, featuring two colors forming symmetrical squares like a chessboard.
Exactly.
Plaids, on the other hand, are more complex, often involving correct. Multiple colors
yes.
and uneven stripes that
thank
intersect.
You.
According to DesignPool and FabricOnline.com, in some contexts, particularly in British English, checkered might be used more broadly, but in American English, plaid is usually reserved for the more intricate, more colored patterns.
Okay. So in other parts of the world, they do call plaid checkered.
Checkered.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Plaid Pantry got its name from a checkered plaidish pattern that it was originally featured on their buildings and roadside signs.
I was going to say, because it bothers me, because I hung out as a ne'er-do-well. I'd say like 10-year-old, the Plaid Pantry was like the cool place to hang out, and it was not plaid. Their logo is like it's like a flag. It's just like three colors.
Yeah, it's like, it almost looks like the Germany flag.
It's like multicolored, isn't it? Like
it's red,
blue, red, and yellow?
I think it's black, red, and yellow.
Is
it? But there's no plaid in there whatsoever.
Maybe blue, I don't know. No, there's no plaid.
And I'm not going to lie, that always bothered me about
it's kind of a disappointment.
Plaid Pantry.
Yeah, it does. Well, it's close. It's either, I think it's a dark blue, but yeah, red on top, yellow in the middle, and blue or black on the bottom. Hmm.
Someone said I'm dumber for this conversation.
Yeah, oh, we all
probably.
Are.
We all are. But it's a conversation that we needed to have.
I don't think you are. I honestly feel like...
Have we learned something today?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of... I don't like that. I don't like saying that to that guy.
Yeah.
Dude.
I mean, we did
we
go...
We figured it out.
We did go on a learning adventure today.
Yeah. The because I guarantee you, that guy didn't know that.
No. No. Were you aware the plaid pantry wasn't plaid? Well, now you are. So there you go.
I go to 7-Eleven, dude.
I go to whatever convenience store happens to be in my way. I have zero convenience store preference. But I was just at a convenience store. I was buying my little ghost here. I don't know. I don't even know what it is. It's just the one right up here by our office, and it's like got boards all over it. I have no idea.
Oh, you were in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have the balls to go in there.
Oh, it's shady as all get out. But there's a lovely Indian man that runs it, and he's super nice, and he's always very complimentary. But I do feel like at any moment I could be shot and killed. Like I don't think it has a name. And there's boards all over the windows. But inside, you know, it's decent enough.
Power rank the convenience store chains.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I find them all.
So you have 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
You have Plaid Pantry. Uh-huh. You have, we had Quick Trip. Have you guys ever been to Quick Trip?
Yeah, we got the Circle K's.
Circle K.
Yeah.
Casey's is another one.
Sure. I think they're all kind of the same. I think they all suck. Unless you go to one of the nice, like, travel stops. Like, those are great. But, you know, like, they're all the same. But occasionally you get, like, a Chevron that's got, like, a grill in it.
We have AMPM.
Yeah, you got the AMPM. Like, the one, when I lived in the center, there was a Chevron. It was the only gas station in town. And they had a grill. It was called the Gorilla Grill. And that place was pretty good. They'd make you, like, breakfast burritos, and you get, like, a burger. And, it was like a little community-run thing, but it was delightful.
When I was in high school, the Valero put in an Extra Mile, which was, like, a big, giant convenience store. Yeah. And they didn't have, like, someone making stuff for you, but, you know, we'd go there on our breaks and get $1.50 corn dogs.
Sure. But if I had to choose, I think I would go 7-Eleven simply because it's the best known.
I think so.
I feel like there's a quality control at the 7-Eleven that, like this one here where I got this energy drink.
There's a floor for the quality of the stuff they sell.
I just think it's some dude that bought like a burned out building and now sells whatever in there. But 7-Eleven has corporate mandates, right? There's uniformity to it. So I'd probably say that I'd go like AMPM second, and then like your Plaid Pantries. The bigger companies are going to have better ones.
Yeah.
Right? I mean...
Well, and they have standards. They have franchise standards.
Yes.
Whereas the little mom and pop ones, like you were just in, it's, you know, he may or may not make.
Well, there's no windows.
Well, right.
He's
got to sell enough to open the doors next week.
Yes.
You know, it seems like those kinds of operations are a little lax. But, you know, is there a market? Do you think that there is a market for just a slightly upscale convenience store chain?
Well, I don't know if you've not spent much time in Asia, correct?
No, I've never been to Asia.
I'm telling you right now.
I know of it, though. It's a continent, I'm told.
It's a big place. They got land, big land. You go to Asia, you will never think of convenience stores the same way.
Okay, what do they do?
They are phenomenal.
Well, for one, just the basic ones, like you mentioned, like 7-Eleven, their 7-Elevens make outstanding fresh food every day.
Really?
Katsu sandwiches, sushi rolls.
Why do we not do this?
They are, you will literally be walking around Japan, Korea, Taiwan, whatever.
Hold on, sorry. It's really a 7-Eleven,
though? Yes.
Or
it's just actual 7-Eleven?
Actual 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was some talk. This turned into a whole thing. There was an article not too long ago where 7-Eleven was noodling with the idea of trying to reinvest the Asian version of it in the United States, and they decided not to.
Not enough demand?
Well, they just don't think that we would ever think of it that way, and so they don't want to put the money into it. But when you go anywhere over to one of the Asian countries, you will be walking around and you will specifically go into 7-Eleven to eat. And not like, hey, we don't, you know, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing around here.
Like, because you're not suffering quality by not going to a regular lunch spot.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's legit. And they're really clean. They're really nice. And the people actually get paid. The bathrooms are nice. They do an elevated convenience store like you wouldn't believe. There, we went to one in Osaka that was serving pizza. I'm not kidding. It was like They had like a real pizza oven. Like there was a dude out there just pulling out pizza that was, I'm not going to say it's, you know, it's not, what would you say? Like, what's one of our better pizzas here? You know, it's not going to be confused with a top five pizza in Portland, but it was better than Domino's or Papa John's. It was a really, really good pizza. And it was like $2.50 a slice.
Is this yet another way the Asians are lapping us?
Well, I'll tell you what.
I feel like they're lapping us. Why does all of our stuff suck? This is a great idea.
Yeah.
7-Eleven needs courage.
You got to be. See, if you get the BTJ wound up on this, boy, she'll come in off the top rope and crap all like.
Crap all over what?
Our stuff.
Well, yes, she should.
Yeah, and it's kind of a, because I don't have like a, like, what's my retort? I don't.
You don't have one.
No, I'm like,
we're falling behind.
We are. Yeah.
Pisses me off.
It's embarrassing. They have elevated they've elevated fast food and they've elevated the convenience store to a level that we just can't appreciate.
That and public transportation, yes. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Improves the quality of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
really good.
Imagine how that. You know, shocker, right?
Yeah. Well, that was the other one, too. The other place that I found that was like this was Iceland. Iceland had really, really nice convenience stores. And the weird part was, because there's not a lot of restaurants in Iceland. There's just not enough people. And so you would see families of 4 and 5 going into their, now they didn't have 7-Elevens. It was whatever local, whatever chain they had, but you would see families going into the gas station to buy dinner. And it was same thing. It was good. And it does make you think, why can't we have that? And I think it's just,
well, that's a small, I mean, look, they only have like 400,000 people there.
I don't even think it's that.
So
it's different.
I mean,
but Asia does not have that.
That's apples and oranges. Yeah. Asia has billions of people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So that you can't use that as an excuse.
No.
Because everybody's always like, oh, Scandinavia, they know what's up. Well, it's a little different because their countries are smaller. Yes. And
even so, like we took a bus from like Tokyo up into the mountains and they're like, oh, they said we're going to stop for dinner on the ride. And they stopped at a giant gas station. We're like, what? And we go in there and it's delicious ramen. It's udon. It's chicken karage. And you're like, oh, okay, this is going to work just fine. Yeah. And it was delicious.
Yeah, you're taking a bullet train and someone brings you out a thing of hot muffins for your snack. Instead of the little biscotti crap that we get, you get like a hot, delicious, freshly baked muffin or scone. And you're like, damn it.
They probably have good coffee, too. This was supposed to be part of the... Isn't MAGA supposed to mean Make America Great Again? Mm. Where is the elevated 7-Eleven?
Well, and even RFK is supposed to be MAHA, Make America Healthy Again. That's what he's doing with all the beef tallow and sugars and stuff.
As someone says, it's because people suck and we have low standards. And that is...
Well, I don't like how low our standards are now.
Yes.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. We do not...
I blame government.
Well, some of that's our fault, too.
I blame government.
Yeah, someone's saying...
they don't know what the f*** they're doing.
That's a great quote.
Do you understand that?
Well, it is weird because, you know, you hear people say that we're the greatest and, you know, and in many ways, our country is phenomenal, right? Let's not sit here and crap all over the United States.
We're not in a third world country.
We have amazing things in the United States. We don't even have poor people. No offense, but we don't know what poor is. Go to some other countries. Our poor people are living better than like 95% of the people across the world. So we have things about us that are amazing. But
good qualifier.
Yes. But we do run into this stupid, like, everything in the United States is the greatest. And it's like, dude, pull your head out of your ass and travel somewhere. No, it's not. There are other countries that do simple things and they do them so well. And then you go back and you're like, how can we do all these wonderful things? But when it comes to just seemingly simple ways to implement this and make this better, we can't figure it out. It's kind of maddening, to be honest with you. Little things, restrooms, you mentioned, you know, gas stations, public transportation. Why does like the rest of the developed world all have that figured out and we have our head up our ass? It just makes no sense.
I think it's Anthony Fauci.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
There's your opening segment.
Yeah. Go into an Asian public restroom sometime and get ready to be blown away. And then go into a U.S. public restroom and be like, oh my God, what just done?
Their public toilets are nicer than a lot of private toilets.
Yes. Here. It's the saddest thing when you leave those places. You're like, oh, toilet technology. And it's been that way for 20 years.
Is anybody going to beat this guy? Probably not. Mm. Next on The Fan. All right. Yeah, no Joey Harrington today. He is, we don't know. Actually, we don't know where
he is. Yeah, he was being awful, secretive about it.
He just said he's not here today. Yeah. So we didn't
press.
Tight-lipped.
A lot of people saying Joey Harrington has diarrhea.
Where do you think he is?
Probably on the pot.
Nah, he's somewhere cool. Guaranteed. Impromptu. He's probably at Bandon again.
I was going to say, he had to go to Bandon again for another fundraiser. that fundraising.
That Joey Harrington Foundation. Man, it's good. It's good.
They do a lot of good work. A lot of Bandon trips.
My foundation goes to Bandon a lot, too.
Well, apparently so does the NFLPA boss.
Wait, what?
You didn't see that?
Yeah.
Is he at Bandon?
Well, no.
Not quite.
The NFLPA, is it Lloyd Howell? He had to resign because it turned out that Lloyd Howell was actually working for a group that had an interest in NFL team owners and not the players. Also turned out that he was lying to the players about a court case involving them. And now it turns out that he was expensing on the NFLPA's dime his personal adventures, including
Bandon
strip clubs.
Oh, well, that's okay.
he did the old, I'm going to head to, the old Acropolis there, and let's just go ahead and put this on the old expense
report.
What's
his name? I've never heard of the guy.
Lloyd Howell.
Did he play? So he's the head of the Players Association?
Well, yeah, he's the attorney. Remember,
the attorney.
Did he replace D'Amore Smith?
Yes, he replaced D'Amore Smith.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never heard of him.
And it feels like every one of those guys ends up being disgraced. I just think when you get that position, you end up in bed with the billionaire owners, and I think they just seduce you. Because I'm sure you make a decent living being the NFLPA, but none of the players are whining and dining you, and all of a sudden you end up with 30 old billionaires that are like, "Hey, you wanna hang out on this side?" And next thing you know, you're just fudging some numbers.
That's how those old boys made their money.
Yeah, yeah,
they know what they're doing.
Well, I mean, it's like when you're in Congress, it's got to be the same thing. When you're around really rich, powerful people, I'm guessing that is the easiest thing in the world to do is get seduced by it. Because you're working with them closely, right? You're working with the NFLPA, so you're negotiating with the owners, so you're having these meetings, and next thing you know, old Jerry's like, "Hey, why don't you come on down to Dallas?" He sends the chopper to pick you up, takes you to probably the nicest restaurant you've ever been to, and then you end up at some peeler joint with the four hottest girls that apparently are very interested in you for some reason. And next thing you know, you're just doing whatever the hell Jerry Jones wants. And now you're resigning in disgrace.
Is it
smiles,
disgrace,
and glory hope?
He's pretty disgraced.
Okay, but what does he care? He's probably going to go get a job at what's that? What do they call the big facility Jerry just built down there?
Oh yeah,
Jerry World.
Yeah,
he'll probably work there.
Yeah,
some sort of
highfalutin
attorney.
So he got caught in the lie. So people started looking through his expense reports, and it was it's the standard stuff. He had $800 for a car service that took him to the airport to the Dallas clubs, $800 to take a ride to the Dallas from the airport to the Dallas strip clubs.
Huh.
Yeah.
So who does the Players Association attorney?
The Players Union
work for so who is his boss?
The players.
Okay.
So the president of the Players Association would have to round them up and say, "We need to vote somebody new in."
Yeah. So each team has a representative,
But there's always one guy though. There's always one player.
Yes.
Who's the head of the? Who is the player?
It was J.C. Tretter, the center, but I don't know if it still is.
Yeah, I don't know who there. Yeah, each team has one, and then there's a player president,
right?
And then there's the union president, who was this guy until he, and he had to do the, he resigned, even though he's very proud of the work he's done. And he just, he said in his statement that he feels like he's a distraction at this point. So he's.
I'll step aside.
He'll step aside.
Probably going to head to a Coldplay concert soon.
Yeah, I love anytime these guys get caught. If you remotely look into any one of these dudes that have one of these high level union positions, I guarantee every person just has the shadiest expense report, and because this is a tale as old as time.
But don't you think the head of the players president? Don't you think that
I've never heard of him.
Jalen Reeves Maben.
Who's he play for?
Linebacker for the Lions.
He's a reserve, I think.
Don't you think that guy should have an eye on this cat?
Well, my guess is
he probably did.
He probably did.
Yeah.
And you know, let me ask, he's also a guy that probably doesn't make a lot of money. He probably got roped into it too.
All right.
If you were smart, you should have someone like Patrick Mahomes who has enough money and influence that doesn't need that crap. But Mahomes doesn't want to deal with that.
No, he doesn't have the time.
Dealing with
they
that.
They list the other players who were vice presidents, includes Calais Campbell, Austin Eckler, Cameron Hayward, Case Keenum.
Okay.
Well, Eckler's always hurt. What's he doing?
Yeah, I've never heard of this Jalen Reeves guy either.
Punter Thomas Morstead.
But, yeah, apparently the eye was off the ball.
You going to apply for the job?
I'd love that job.
Yeah, me too.
That job is tasty.
Set up my office abandoned.
Yeah. I think you probably could. You should. You would hold all the meetings at Bandon. Yeah. And by the
there's
way,
there's an airport 20 minutes away.
It would all be expensed on the NFLPA.
That's right.
Every
you need to see me fly into what is it? What's that airport?
North Bend.
North Bend.
North Bend.
Head on down to Coos
Bay. I'll send a car. A
lot of bachelors in meetings.
That's right. I'm not hard to find. I'm out on the property somewhere. All right. Well, yeah, this is, guys.
The NFL summit on February 21st, he accompanied employees to the Magic City Strip Club for an outing that incurred $2,400 in charges.
That's not too bad.
Including cash withdrawals ranging from $200 to $525 from an ATM.
$525.
And sources document the show of not one, but two VIP rooms.
Yeah, but... First
hey,
of all,
$2,500 for
a. That's what I just said. That's not that bad. And by the way, what are you doing, amateur, going to the ATM over and over? Bring cash, idiot.
Yeah.
Come on. They get like
you
a pro.
They get you with those fees.
Yeah, exactly. Stupid. Like, who withdraws money at a strip club?
Apparently, this guy.
So unprepared.
Yeah.
So, guys, Scottie Scheffler shot a 64 today. I'm afraid the tournament's over.
Yeah, but here's the thing, I'm not that impressed. Because it's par 71. That's like shooting a 65.
That's pretty low.
Yeah, if you shot a 65, you'd be like, meh, I've seen better.
If I shot a 65?
If he shot a 65.
Oh.
Okay.
That's his best round ever in a major.
It was also the low round of the day for any golfer in the field.
Any player in the field.
It wasn't a 64.
It was a 64.
No, it wasn't. A real 64 would have been 63.
How many shots did it take him to get his ball in the hole on all 18?
He was 7 under, 64.
And he had a bogey, for God's sakes. What a bum.
He's 10 under, and I'm afraid. I just hate this because, I didn't bet him.
He was waiting for him to run away.
Well, yes. Yeah. I've seen this act before, and you have too.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, when he's putting like this, he's top five in putting.
You're not beating him.
You're not beating him.
Nope.
He doesn't lose when he putts like this.
Nope.
That's really the difference. Is Scheffler, like last week, he's still top 10,
nope,
but he couldn't putt.
Nope.
And so nobody bet on him this, well, not nobody, but I just mean like he wasn't a huge bet this week because it's like, he doesn't really putt well overseas. Well, I'll be damned, he's fifth in putting.
Yep. 68-64.
Now, he's only leading by one.
But you look at the people that are sniffing around him.
Fitzpatrick could give him a run.
Come
on. He looks good.
I'm trying to look at who else, though.
So Fitzpatrick's 9 under. So Scheffler's now leading.
Harmon
10
8.
Under. Matt Fitzpatrick is 9 under. Brian Harmon and Ho-Tung Lee are 8 under. Nobody else is even
there's a gap between
5.
8 and 5.
Yeah, so he's got a 5-shot lead on the field, sans 3 guys. Yeah. Lee ain't going to win it. Harmon and Fitzpatrick are both major winners.
Harmon's won that tournament.
Yeah, they could stay with him, but I just want it to be good on Sunday morning.
You think he puts his foot on everyone's neck tomorrow and you go out and shoot another 64, 65 and just ends it?
I don't know about that low, but I think it depends on the weather too. The weather can even this thing, but I just feel like he is a boa constrictor.
Yeah.
And over 36 holes,
yeah,
if he's putting like this, who the hell is going?
He's just going to choke you out.
Yeah, yeah, he's going to choke you out, yeah, and you're going to just have to be really, really, somebody's going to have to go ape crap.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's only really 3 guys
that are in range.
If you take Fitzpatrick, Harmon, and Lee out of it,
mm-hmm,
and Scottie Scheffler had a 5-shot lead going into the weekend, what are we saying?
It's over.
It's over.
Yeah.
So you got 3 dudes. And Lee, you know, he's a DP World Tour player. Like, he's not going to take down Scheffler. I mean, he could, but he's playing great.
But
he's not going to.
You do have 2 other champions that you know.
And, yeah.
And maybe that's our hope, that you get a decent weekend, is that one of those guys can reel him in.
Or Scheffler, you know, maybe the weather...
He gets off to a rocky start tomorrow and has to grind a little bit, and he stays even while other people catch up.
But you pointed it out. The part of his game that fails him isn't failing him. And like, all of a sudden in rounds 3 and 4, he's going to forget how to putt? I don't know. I'm with you.
Because he's so good tee to green, it's like...
I'm with you. When I saw this today, I saw the card, and I'm like, oh, my God. You're like, this... It feels... When you watch something, sometimes you'll be watching a game, and even though at halftime, right, it'll be within a touchdown, and you're like, it doesn't feel close. That's kind of what this feels like. This feels like this is Scottie Scheffler going to run away with this and put another feather in the cap.
Yeah, but he doesn't really care. What's the point?
It's even the point. It's a hollow championship. How many would this be for Scottie?
This would be his
five?
Four. No. Four. Wait, he's only won.
You're the golf guy. Let's go.
Well, he won 2 Masters.
I thought he had 3 or 4. Am I wrong?
He doesn't have 4, I don't think.
Scottie Scheffler has
3.
Has 3 majors. Okay. 2 Masters, 1 PGA Championship.
Oh, yeah.
And then he had a T2 at the U.S. Open in 2022.
So he needs, if he rattles this one off,
he'll need the U.S. Open.
He just needs the U.S. Open, and then he'll wave goodbye to everyone. Damian Lillard style and... Right away into the sunset.
Dead serious. If he wins this, then wins the U.S. Open. Does he just take some time?
Finishes the career or the career slam in the season.
Yeah,
he's like, be pretty baller if he did.
Be very baller.
Yeah, just walk away.
He's go to Live.
Made a ton of money.
Go to Live. Hang out with Brooks Koepka.
What would Live pay? Although, are they even doing that anymore? Are they giving out?
I don't know.
Because I saw a thing where some of those guys' contracts are up.
Yeah,
and there was like this. What does Live do? Like, do they
keep paying him?
Well, do they have to? Because can those guys come back to the PGA Tour? You know, there was that whole thing. And if they don't really have an option to come back to the PGA, does Liv have to shell out the bucks? You know, Liv has gone kind of quiet.
There have been rumblings about Liv and Bryson specifically because he's like the best thing they've got going right now from eyeballs and content and stuff like that. But he's like, listen, if you're not going to pay out and nobody's watching this, like, you still got to make it worth my while. I think they're talking about cutting some of the dead weight, but like, who do you replace him with? They only have like 30 guys or whatever it is.
You know what the thing about that is, though? I don't know how stubborn they are. I think they want some sort of deal.
Yeah.
But just listening to the insider golf people talk about that, there's no deal on the horizon.
No. Because Liv isn't a threat right now.
Exactly. See, the PGA Tour and the PGA Tour just got a new boss. They know that all the stuff that Liv bet on, yes, they have some good players over there, but all the stuff like, oh, it's only 3 rounds and it's more of a party atmosphere and guys are wearing shorts and there's teams. Nobody likes any of that.
No.
I mean, it's a complete... an utter failure.
Yeah, nothing burger.
And so I think they hold the cards now, especially with these guys. So they could bleed. Well, you can't really bleed Liv, but I'm just saying, like, they could just say, hey, all right, keep paying DeChambeau whatever you're paying, $200 million. Yeah. I mean, it's not going anywhere.
And that's
so at some point, they're going to have to come back to the table, I would think.
And
Liv.
I'm just interested because Liv for a while was just. It seemed like every other week, Liv was rattling a cage. And now...
they haven't signed anybody since Rahm, I don't think.
No, and it's just... And by the way, no one pays any attention.
No. It's horrible.
I mean, none.
It's a horrible product.
I have no idea what... I mean, you're talking about big names, and no one pays any attention to them. And, you know, there was this like, oh my God, if you have enough money, you can buy your way into anything. But can you? I don't... If this fails, and Liv fails...
Well, it is failing.
I know, but let's say that... because we were told they had an unlimited amount of money, and if someone eventually just gets to the point where like, dude, this is stupid, I'm not doing this, this will be a crushing blow to the idea that if you have enough money, you can do anything in sports. I mean, so far they haven't bought their way like into the NFL. I mean, there was that the Saudi money is going to take over everything. Well, maybe not.
By the way, Bryson DeChambeau shot 65 today.
Oh.
So he was only 13 shots better than yesterday.
Yeah.
And he made the cut.
Oh. Yeah, after going 7-under round one to make the cut is quite the triumph.
Good Lord. I didn't see that he made the cut.
Yep. And also making the cut, Sepp Straka, Corey Connors, and Hideki Matsuyama right on the cut line. The cut line was +1.
Sergio was at +1 as well.
Notable missed cuts, Jason Day, who, by the way, looked great yesterday. I don't know if you saw his, see the outfit that was trending?
I did not.
Google it. Fantastic.
Okay.
Patrick, you see, the Malbon thing is catching on.
Yeah.
It's catching on, bro.
A lot of guys out there wearing the Malbon pants that has the Malbon down the
side.
See,
I don't like
side.
The pants, but I like,
I don't either, but like a lot of guys are wearing it.
I like some of the tops.
Weren't we going to try to make Buck? Weren't we going to try to get Malbon Buck guy. Outfitted?
Well, his brother, the Malbon guy, is apparently lives here. He's from here.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
his
yeah,
brother
yeah.
listens to the show.
That's right.
But he has gone silent on outfitting Buck as the next Jason Day.
Yeah, we were
shockingly.
Buck was all about it. Buck was like, yeah, let's go.
I could have been the Jason Day of West Beaverton, but no.
only West Beaverton.
Are you is that like a card?
It's a card. Yeah, it's like a king.
Yeah, it looks like the king of clubs.
Yeah,
boy.
What do you think of that?
You know what?
It's not bad. People were loving it.
I'll tell you this: would I wear that golfing? No. Would I wear that out? Yeah.
Oh,
I'd wear that.
Yeah, he looked pretty stylish.
I wouldn't wear it golfing, but I would wear that for like a
it's kind of a fun.
Yeah, like if you were going out to like a show or like a concert or whatever, I'd throw that on. I just don't think I could play golf. I don't think I could play golf in it, but all right.
So notable missed cuts, Jason Day, Patrick Cantlay, Brooks Koepka, Colin Morikawa, Cam Smith, and Adam Scott.
Ah.
Scotty Scheffler leads by one heading into Saturday and Sunday at Royal Portrush. I haven't looked at the forecast, but I'm hoping that it gets wild to maybe shake this thing up a little bit, because otherwise it's going to be... Scotty Scheffler.
Hopefully, hopefully Sunday is at least competitive. It's all you can hope for.
All right, coming up next, the single simplest and best college football champion prediction model.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Now to college football, which we love so dearly here.
It's Division I football!
It's
Division I football!
That is such a good drive.
Nice. It's so...
Go play intramurals, brother!
Why, first of all, where is he? He sounds like he's in a...
He's at a conference, I think, either... after spring practice or going into fall camp, and he was meeting with Colorado, because that was the whole thing. There had been some heat. Some of the Colorado players and parents supposedly had been complaining about the treatment, and so there was a story about it, and he was addressing the media. And
yeah, parents were complaining publicly about like the amount of work, the amount of time, and the conditions. And he's like, "What do you want from me?"
But that doesn't sound like immediate. Like, listen to the.
It almost sounds like he was on a call, like a conference call.
Oh,
or
maybe
something.
So.
Go play intramurals,
you know,
brother.
What? Now that I think about it, that might have been the old Pac-12
media call.
Because remember, we used to have to sit in on, well, we didn't have to, but they used to have one of those. That might have been what that was from, and someone called in and asked him about it. It's Division I football!
He has one of those college football program GM jobs now. That's what he's doing.
Where is he?
He is the director of player and staff development for Idaho State University in Pocatello.
God, the Bengals fall from grace.
That's right.
Yeah. Dan Hawkins.
Yep. For a while, man.
Chris Peterson propped him up.
Yep.
That's what's up.
He was one of those guys that, like, just he rode the...
Well, he was the head coach.
He was the
Peterson
head coach, yes.
Was his coordinator.
Yeah, and
once Peterson left, he went to S. Yeah.
And it turned... Like, everyone assumed...
Because he went to Colorado.
Yeah, everyone assumed that Hawkins was the guy, and it...
Well, Peterson didn't leave. Peterson stayed, took over Boise State. Hawkins went to Colorado and was...
Yeah. And Hawkins has only been at Idaho State for 2 years. Before that, for 7 years, he was the head coach of UC Davis, the Aggies.
And before that, he was coaching like American... He was like coach of the USA football.
I've got the list. The Vienna Vikings offensive coordinator.
Ooh.
The Carlstad Crusaders offensive coordinator. In 2015, he was the U.S. national team head coach. He's also the head coach of the Montreal Alouettes in 2013. And...
It's a fall from grace.
Yeah. There you go.
Dan Hawkins.
Before that, Colorado. So
I saw this on CBS Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever heard of blue chip ratio?
Blue chip ratio.
Yes, recruiting term, right?
I'm
well,
assuming
blue chip is, but the ratio is it's like a tool that. So this is from.
Think this might have even come up before last season. Is this essentially the thing about a certain percentage of your raw? Okay.
Yeah. So this is by Bud Elliott. From CBS Sports. I don't know if it's his...
He created it.
His bit.
Yeah, he created it.
Boy, it's super simple, but And I'll tell you what it is in a second. It has held true for every modern national champion. In other words, you must meet this ratio to win the championship. Doesn't mean make the playoff. It means win the whole thing.
Bartu has a couple metrics like this, too. Dave said that basically Dave has about four or five things based on, you know, different criteria that if you don't meet them, you don't even, you're not even in contention. And every champion has come from that. So, yeah, there's it's something similar, it sounds like, to that.
So this one is very simple.
Yeah.
It's called blue chip ratio, and it is simply that you have to have signed more 4- and 5-star recruits than 2- and 3-star recruits over the previous 4 recruiting classes. That is it.
Yeah.
Super simple.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you go all the way back to 2011 Alabama, they had a 71% ratio.
Yeah.
2012 Alabama, 71%. 2013 Florida State, 53%. So what they it needs to be over 50%.
Okay.
Okay. Florida State, a little bit of an outlier, but it was over 50%. They were at 53.
Yeah.
2014 Ohio State, 68%. Alabama, 77%. Clemson, 52%.
Okay.
Alabama.
I'm guessing those teams that were like the 52%ers, they have a truly special player.
They had Deshaun Watson.
Exactly.
And then Trevor Lawrence.
The other one had Jameis Winston.
Yeah. That's
Alabama 2017, 80%.
Yeah.
2018, Clemson was 61%. 2019, LSU was 64%.
Yeah.
Alabama 83%, the COVID year. Georgia 80%. Georgia again, 77%. Michigan only 54%. And then last year, Ohio State, the best ratio, 90%.
Yeah. And that's when they were saying that Ohio State team was the best team money's ever assembled.
So now there's also, because people will ask, well, what about transfers? Because that's not factored into the primary blue chip ratio.
Mm-hmm.
He's got another rating for that. It doesn't change much, but it does change some.
Sure.
And that's pretty new, so you don't have a lot of data to go back on.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm guessing you could do that as simply as, are the transfers 4- and 5-star kids?
Right.
Because when Caleb Downs comes over and plays from Ohio State,
you're not getting a 2-star who struggles.
So, the question is, where does Oregon rank in the blue chip ratio?
I'll bet you they're getting real close or have already surpassed it.
For the upcoming season. Already surpassed 50%?
Yeah.
We will find out, Jason.
They're going to be right there, I bet.
We will find out, Jason.
Ooh.
Next.
It's almost like you're a pro at this.
On the Fan.
So good.
Yeah.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
All right, we're talking about blue chip ratio. Very simple. Bud Elliott?
That's correct.
Yeah, Bud Elliott. CBS Sports came up with it, and it is held true for every champion in the modern era, and it is you must have recruited more 4 or 5 stars than 2 and 3 stars by ratio over 50% to win the championship. And Ohio State, at least of the ones we looked at there, Ohio State last year had the best ratio at 90%, which is insane.
Well, this goes to show you, man,
how good that team was.
Yeah, you hear from people all the time that you know, they try to do the, oh, recruiting doesn't matter. Dude, shut up.
It's really every... Well, you mentioned Bartu. That's his whole premise, is that it really... And there are other things that he's got in there, but generally speaking, if you want to boil college football down to one thing, it is very simply recruiting. And this stat has held up every year. Now, I mentioned we were going to find out where Oregon sits in 2025 blue chip ratio. And Jace, we are.
I can't wait.
We are, okay? Now, I've got the blue chip. So there's 18 schools that have a blue chip ratio above 50.
Okay.
So in other words,
18 real contenders.
If you are betting that, well, you know, he says very clearly, don't bet this. It's not a betting system. He's just saying, if you want to pick the champion from a pool, pick it from this pool of 18 teams.
Well, and you can go through too, because, I mean, Dave says every year, Bartu, I think and this is where this he's probably talking. 18 is a pretty big. Dave usually says there's like 8 to 9 because he goes a little further. Remember, it's he goes recruiting rankings, and then he also goes with like offense, defensive efficiency,
and then coach effect. That's his other one. Basically, how good your staff is.
So it's like and he says that basically you can go into any season with 9 or 10 teams, and that's about it.
But I think that. If you wanted to, in other words, once I give you this list of 18, then you will pare it down quite easily because there's a coach you don't believe in or you know what I mean.
Sure.
Like it's just because they're over 50% doesn't mean they're any good at all.
Yeah.
Now
means they're probably pretty good.
Most of these are.
Well, because again, I mean,
but
if I have better raw talent than you, especially across the board, I mean, let's take the great example of this is Oregon and Boise State. Oregon and Boise State played last year, and Boise State played a better game than Oregon. And I thought Boise State deserved to win that game. Where they fell apart was special teams. And special teams and backups depth is, to me, where you really start to see the separation between the Oregons and the Boise States. I talk about it. We played Florida State at BYU when Florida State won a national title. That was Chris Wanky and... who is the receiver? Peter Warwick. I think Corey Simon was on that team. It was national title team at Florida State. My God, there was a bunch of really good players. And I'm not saying their starters were clearly better than us, but when we got into the backups, that's where it was like, what in the hell? They kept rotating through defensive linemen, and hand to God, the backup D linemen were better than the starters. And I was like, this isn't supposed to happen. And those backups ended up being like Darnell Dockett and some people that went on to make like 10 Pro Bowls, and they were backing them up. And that's where you see it. So when Boise State's playing Oregon and you get into this close game and all of a sudden you're kicking to them and their Oregon's coverage team or Oregon's special teams is all 4-star, 5-star kids that are just young and developing, and poor Boise State, no offense, but their special teams are made up of 2-star kids. That's where that gap gets exposed. And it's hard to beat teams when the talent gap is that great, even if you play a really, really good game with your starters.
So blue chip ratio, there are 5 teams between 50 and 60%. Okay. Yeah. Now, are you saying that you think Oregon is one of these?
I'll bet you Oregon 18? Is. Yes. Over 4 years, Lanning's been there 3, and Lanning has been a monster recruiter, and Mario was killing it. So, yes, okay. I think they're above that mark.
They are indeed.
Yeah.
In the 18 here. Okay, so here are the 5 schools that are between 50 and 60%. Florida State and Tennessee are at 54%.
And Florida State, by the way, last year just stunk to high heavens, but, you know, there was talent.
Now, remember, Michigan won it 2 years ago with the same ratio, 54%.
Yeah.
So it can be done. Clemson, 55%.
Sure.
USC and Michigan, 57%.
Hmm.
So those are your first 5.
Okay.
60 to 70%, you have Auburn and Florida at 64%, Miami is at 64%, and Penn State is at 68%.
Interesting, because some of those teams, like Auburn, has been spinning their wheels and has had coaching problems. Miami, do you believe it? I mean, this goes back to you believe in Mario Cristobal, because I don't. Penn State, on the other hand, a lot of people saying that if you want to pick to win the whole thing, because Oregon and Ohio State having to replace so many people, that maybe this is the year that Penn State gets over the hump.
Well, they have the quarterback.
Yeah.
But although, you know, Miami has Carson Beck this year.
Yeah, I'm not a Carson Beck guy.
70% Oklahoma. That surprises me, but
yeah, because they're on the struggle bus a little bit too.
And here are your top 8. Notre Dame and LSU are at 73%.
Okay. I'm a little surprised Notre Dame's as high as that, but
Texas and Oregon, 78%.
And Texas, by the way, I think is the odds-on favorite to win the whole thing. They were picked to win the SEC.
Then you have 4 above 80.
So Alabama, Georgia.
Yep.
Who am I missing? Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State.
Yep. There's one other one in there.
Who am I missing? Who am I missing?
It's a surprise, kind of.
Oh.
Yeah, very talented.
SEC?
Yep.
Gators.
I already said.
Oh, you already said the Gators.
SEC has 9 of the 18. By the way,
Ole Miss, maybe.
No, it's Texas A&M.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Texas A&M has a blue chip ratio of 82%. Georgia 84%. Alabama and Ohio State 89%.
And there's definitely some teams on there to me that I don't take seriously, but
Yeah. But I mean,
they have talent.
I was looking at the odds compared to these numbers, mm-hmm. and I tell you what, Alabama.
There's your want some value.
That is not a bad value championship play because DeBoer, I mean, DeBoer's damn good.
Yeah, he wins everywhere he goes.
They have the most talent tied with Ohio State in the country.
Huh. Yeah, that's one that it. And what are their odds?
I looked at, so Ohio State was like plus 400 something.
Okay.
And Alabama was closer to plus 950.
Ooh, I got right here. Plus 1,200 right now to win the national championship.
It depends where you look. That's not bad. I mean,
that's not bad.
Not a bad play.
I'm looking at FanDuel right now. It has Alabama as the same odds as Oregon, 11-1.
Yeah, I'd have to look at the schedules.
But give me Alabama.
Well, who's
at that number?
Who's their quarterback, though?
They're going with that.
No, that's up in Ohio.
It's Ty. It's like Ty Simpson.
Oh, I think that's right.
Something like that. He's been in the program for a couple years. I believe it's Ty Simpson that they're
okay.
going with.
Now
and then they've got some 4 and 5 star kids that are competing.
You heard the 18.
Yeah.
When we come back, I want your one of these 18. I want the dark horse team.
Okay.
Or not really dark horse, but just you know, teams like, hey, watch out.
Sure.
Because they fit the blue chip ratio, and I think they're going to be nasty.
Okay,
we'll get to that next on The Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball: long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did.
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.